Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
New survey out that USA Today really went deep into asking older adults that when you get to kind of the end of your life, where do you want the end of your life to happen? And 74% of adults said they would want to be cared for at home. But 7 in 10 family caregivers don't want their aging parents to live with them. So what do you do with that? 3 in 10, that's great.
Yeah.
What do you do for the 7 in 10 and their parents who want to be cared for at home but cannot live alone? And it's a problem that children of those aging parents are really struggling with. Do I let them move in with me anyway? And that can be, and I'm not at this point yet, so I'm not making that decision. I'm going to talk to them for myself, but that can be exhausting, right? I mean, think about it. You've got you and your spouse, and maybe you've got kids, and you've got, you know, then the spare room that your parent sleeps in, and now you are taking care of your kids and your parent or parents.
You know what's so terrifying about this, too, is not only those of us with aging parents and, you know, with caretaking issues and everything like that, is we're talking about the generation that has money. The boomers are the ones who were able to buy houses and have equity and be able to supposedly afford retirement. What the hell is going to happen when millennials are retirement age? What is generation, what, alpha, beta, whatever we're on? What are they going to be doing?
That's
terrifying.
Like, it's expensive to be in, it's expensive for anyone to be in some kind of facility, whether it's, you know, just co-living with other people you're at. But at some point, the money maybe runs out, or it's too expensive and you don't have enough money, and they get to a point, or you start off where they're living, and this is part of what the story gets into, is they start off living with their kids, but then eventually they need medical care a little more around the clock than you can provide. And then you have to convince them to go to that facility at that point.
For the record.
But we're talking about this generation that has to take care of two generations. Yes, Quentin.
I can't wait to live in a retirement home. Are you kidding me? I get to sit on my butt and play Black Ops 2 all day again. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you think it's going to be awesome.
Just hang out.
You don't have the mental capacity to finish a mission. See, this is different too. There's a difference between nursing home and retirement home.
Retirement home is what
you're talking about. And there is. And I don't know. In this study, are they making the differentiation there? I'm assuming this is more for nursing homes because the burden is also having to be the caretaker for your parents as well.
Right. They're calling it senior housing is the huge umbrella that they're putting over it. But the bigger point is that when our parents get to a point where they can't live alone, they don't want to go. They want to, if they can't be at home, the next best thing is to be living with their children. They don't want to be in any kind of senior housing. And then that puts the kids in a really hard position
of
what to do.
You know, growing up is realizing how much of the stuff that you're told growing up and told to believe in is just absolute bull crap. You're told growing up, you're independent. You work hard, you'll be able to retire in style, own your own home, live your best life. You won't be a burden. And we told we told kids, you know, you can have it all, career, kids, stability, a nice house, you can have everything. And then you do the actual math on housing and healthcare and wages. And then the real message is, well, surprise, you're going to be the unpaid nursing home for your parents while still paying off, you know, daycare and orthodontia and everything for your current children. So you're getting, it's called the sandwich generation for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're taking it from both ends.
If you are in this group, whether you are the older of this group and you know that this is something you're thinking about, or you are our age and having to think about this for your parents, 913-586-7798. 46% of Americans provide financial support for their aging parents or in-laws or expect to in the future. The study found that 42% of boomers and 35% of Gen X respondents have planned financially for their own long-term care. I think the more important statistic there is that 58% of boomers have not planned for it financially.
Yeah.
And two-thirds of Gen X have not planned for it financially.
Well, it also... It's the cheaper option, but it's also not free to move your parents in with you. Money, bigger grocery bills, higher utilities, medical copays, home modifications. If you need to put a railing or a seat to get them, lost income. If you know you have to cut back on work to stay home to take care of them, or they fall, so you have to go to the hospital. Time every hour. For doctor's appointments, you know, you're not helping your kids
in
with your homework.
It's like having another kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like having another child in your house. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. It's just, it's someone else. Yeah. Appointments that you got to feed, that you got to think about.
And, you know, think about the sanity of it too. Like you're breaking
I think the mental health toll is huge.
Yeah, you have to explain to your dad why you can't drive anymore. You have to, you know, why you can't watch those movies with the kids around or whatever. It's a lot. I also wonder this, how many of these situations started because both sides were too nice to back down, where it was like, Mom, you don't need to go to a nursing home. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go to a home. You can come live with us, hoping she go, no. I'm not going to be a burden. You're right. I woke up with tile marks on my face because I fell in the shower again. I'm going to go to a retirement home. Instead she goes, no. Oh, that is nice. I don't want you to feel bad. So, okay, I'll accept. And it's neither side really wants that situation to begin with, but it's the nice option. We're supposed to take care of our elders. We're supposed to assist them. The problem is the system should be helping out with that a little bit more, and we just don't. We just don't. Once we look at you as a product, not even a product. It's more of a piece of meat, a cog in the machine or whatever. Once you've outlasted your usefulness as a worker, we're done with you. Yeah, you have Social Security. Good luck paying your retirement bills with that.
I just tell you, given the scary stories that we hear about nursing homes and about some of these facilities, if given a choice between my mom, when she hits that point, going to a facility or living with me, I would be hesitant to have her go to a facility. I would just be worried. We hear so much about elder abuse and we've done the stories before about the funding and the lack of oversight. I would be much more inclined to say, come live with me. And if we need to, we'll spend some of your long-term care money on an assistant, a nurse, I mean, somebody to come in and do, if I need some of the load taken off me, we'll hire someone to do some of that.
Got a bunch of texts on this. 913-586-7798. We also have calls. We'll get to those in a second. From the text line, my parents keep telling me, this person says they're living in trepidation and fear. My parents keep saying, we do not want to be a burden while also not saving a dime and refusing to talk about a plan. Guess who the plan is? The plan is me.
You.
I'm the plan. Yeah. I know it. I'm the plan. They won't say I'm the plan, but I'm the plan. Also from the text line, I'm 46, raising two teenagers, managing my dad's medications, and arguing with insurance companies. I did not realize my midlife crisis would involve this much paperwork and laundry. And also from the text line, we moved my mom in last year, and I love having her close, but I also have not been alone in my house in 12 months. I miss just walking around in silence more than I miss anything else. Yeah. And it's again, the nicety. It's hard to look at them and say, yeah, you need a place to go. It's not going to be my house.
Also, these are your parents.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of emotional complication to that about having your parents who say, we want to stay at home, not be able to.
And there are people on the text line, by the way, I do want to mention this. There are people on the text line who say that they're parents have moved in, or they're in this case from the text line, my mom moved in with us 2 years ago. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm so happy that she stays with us. She helps out with the kids. She does way more than ever would make her a burden. I think that's probably true in a lot of cases.
Younger.
Yeah. If they're capable of helping out around the house and they're not, you know, especially mentally, if they're still all there, it could be a wonderful situation. Like Frasier on the TV show, his dad moved in with him, right? Martin moved in with him. Martin had a hip disability because he got shot in the hip, and so he had problems with it, but otherwise was totally fine. That show wouldn't have had such a comedic tone if Martin was suffering from dementia and, you know, was soiling himself in his raggedy old Lazy Boy recliner. It would have been a different show.
It can be pleasant, and you can be happy in the arrangement and also struggle with it some.
Yeah.
You know, you can be like, I wouldn't have it any other way. And me also, if given a choice, I would absolutely rather have my parent move in with me. I also acknowledge that it's going to be taxing.
Yeah.
In some ways. It just, especially we have more and more people in Gen X who are not married. And so then you have your parent move in with you and it's you doing it on your own. And what if you date, you know, and your parent lives with you. I mean, it's there are ways of figuring it out. It just, I don't assume it's easy.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Chris in OP. And I'll just say this, that the caption that Quentin put up for Chris makes it sound like a horror movie. Cause it just says, don't bring them into your house.
Chris, like they're criminals.
Chris, what do you have to say about this?
I know that sounds awful, but it's one of those things that there's no training for. So you can go before you get married and get counseling and advising and, you know, take classes to become a parent. There's no training to become a parent to your parent and balance your life. And it's really, really scary because there are the horror stories. And when you look into it, as I have, the so-called good ones, these places will tell you, oh, we would love to have your loved one. It's only $10,000 a month. And they say it like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So when I say don't do it, I should have said without serious thought and look at everything. Because when you have your parents, your husband, your children, it becomes everyone that's involved. Mm-hmm. So you have to think, are you taking away from your children having their freedom? And is it spending time with grandparents or is it becoming caregiver to grandparents? And it's such a very, very fine line that you have to walk so that you are getting, I don't want to sound harsh, but benefits and enjoying the parents and not starting to resent them or have your children lose part of their lives because here you go.
I can't go to your game tonight, but you know, grandpa has a doctor's appointment I need to take him to.
Or you can't do this because I need you to watch mom or dad so I go to work.
Yeah.
And there's so many different levels to it that everyone's, oh, I'd love to take them in, but you have to think about what's your job.
Well, I think it's also, you know, Chris, I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, but it's also like there's two different versions of your parent too. There's the parent you grew up with, the parent you even knew in most of your adult life, and then the person that they're becoming as they get older might be a totally different person. Might be a totally different thing that you're expecting, especially if they're suffering from any kind of dementia or, you know, mental acuity issues, cognitive issues. It that can be taxing because it's idyllic to think, oh, my mom will just be living with us. But then when it's like, well, mom also set the house on fire because she left the stove on because she thought she was cooking and forgot and just started watching TV, you know, that becomes an issue.
Yeah, well, my dad turned into a 4-year-old rat.
Right.
And I mean, it was like, you can't have this, you know, because this isn't good for your digestion, and you need to eat this way, you need to eat that way, and literally, he pouted. And it was like, wait,
yeah,
you're the dad. So, like they said, it's a big shift, and I would seriously, seriously tell anyone thinking about it, look at all of your options, get a good support system. A lot of people don't have that. Like you said, some people aren't married.
Yeah.
Or they are judging everything. So just look into all your options. I have my dad with me because overall, it was a big safety issue. I've heard the stories. I've seen the facilities that we can't afford without me basically going bankrupt and living in a box by the river. So I would say do your research. And no matter what it is, emotionally it's a tug. But you have to be practical about it because if you, in my age range, 38, put everything into my dad, I also have to think about when I'm his age, what my financial situation will be.
That's why, Chris, thanks so much for your call. That's what I said is, and maybe it's a selfish take on this, but what is so frightening is this is the generation that actually has money to retire on. What happens when you have a bunch of people who rented their whole lives or who didn't make enough and who were living off of 401ks in the market tanks or that was the retirement plan and or didn't have enough investments or didn't have a pension or didn't whatever and are just living off of Social Security alone? Like that's terrifying.
And we then, because again, the sandwich part, we're taking care of our the money that we should be saving for our own long-term care, perhaps. We are spending so that our parents can live with us as opposed to them going to a facility.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. I have some calls to get to and a lot of text. We're talking about how you handle your parents moving back in with you instead of going to retirement or nursing care. It's a huge burden that a lot of people don't expect it to be. But is it worth it? 913-586-7798. We'll talk about it some more coming up on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about the story out of USA Today, talking to older Americans who say, the majority of whom say, at the end of their life, they would like to be at home. And not in a facility somewhere, but they hit a point where they can't be at home. And so they end up living with their kids, many of whom don't want them living with them.
From the text line, and we have a lot of texts on this, from the text line, I know I'm the weird one, but I actually love having my mom live with us. My kids get grandma stories every night, and I don't have to worry if she fell alone in some apartment. It's not weird. I don't.
No,
and by the way, I think you could make that case for everybody who lets their parents live with them, that there's going to be an upside. Mostly the problem is this is increasingly happening with people who can't afford for their parents to be in a retirement home or even a nursing home. And that's why they move in with them. And it's the financial pressure of that that makes things worse. If you can afford it and it's not an issue where if the only issue with them going to a retirement home is, you know, I would rather them live with us. I want them around my kids. I don't want them being with a bunch of strangers. What if they fall and hurt themselves and then they're by themselves? That's one thing. If it's just, I can't afford it, that pressure is so much worse.
Yeah, or if you have a big demanding job and you're not home very much, or you or your spouse would have to make a change in your, you know, in your employment and that kind of thing, that's hard.
From the text line to that point, and this is a great line, we are not a sandwich generation, we are a panini. There's so much pressure from both sides, it feels like we're getting squashed and grilled. From 3257, that's
I like that.
Pretty good. Let's go to Jana in Overland Park. Hey, Jana.
Hello.
Hi, what do you have to say on this?
Well, I had my dad move in with me about 7 years ago, and it was a conversation that we had ongoing about, you know, what his expectations were, what my expectations were. And when he moved in, it was, he has Alzheimer's, and it was difficult, and we managed it. But when it was so overwhelming for me, I did have to move him into an assisted living arrangement. He did not, he was not happy about it. It was a horrible transition at the time, but that was an agreement that we had made when he still was of sound mind.
Yeah.
And so it took kind of the guilt away from me. It's also a conversation that I've had with my kids, what my expectations are or what my wants are. And, you know, what they are comfortable with providing. So the time that I had with my dad was, my gosh, amazing. In the fact that, you know, I got to know my dad like an adult, which I never got to have that that before. But again, I think it's just all conversation that you have beforehand. And the other thing I want to mention is about the financial responsibility. We've also had the conversation about how we were going to pay for it once he moved to assisted living, because he did not have a large retirement savings saved up for that. And so we planned for him to go on Medicaid and researched facilities that took Medicaid, and he is in a fabulous, fabulous community that is being covered by Medicaid.
Okay.
Great.
When you talked about your dad moving in, did you have ground rules that you set up before he moved in? Like, you know, you said you talked about the money, chores, privacy, all that fun stuff.
No, it just kind of was a, I lived alone. I'm a single woman. And so, it was more of, he just moved in and we just made it work. I had to kind of bend to what his little, fixations were and things like that. And, you know, it was a compromise. So it worked.
Real quick, do you have advice? There are other people who, quite frankly, including myself, who will be in that position at some point. Do you have any advice for them to do it as well as you did?
So again, it was the conversations that we had and the expectations that we both had, and allowing me to not feel the guilt when I made that decision that I couldn't keep him safe in the house anymore. I did not have the guilt when I transferred him.
Right.
And he is, it was awful. It was awful. but again, I didn't have the guilt because I knew that that this is what he wanted, that he knew that was the right thing to do.
And yeah, because you'd had that conversation. All right, Jana, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Let's go to Minvira. I'm saying that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you grew up with your grandparents in your house.
Yes. So I guess I'm an Indian. That's like my family background. But I think in a lot of the Eastern world, it's more of a collective society rather than like an individualistic society that we have here in America. So in that, you know, you have those extended families. And I think growing up, it wasn't like out of the ordinary that you like have your grandparents live with you, and it's just kind of the way that life is. So with us, like, yeah, my grandparents have always lived with us, and it's been like a help to my parents. Like when I was little, my little sister was born or whatever, our grandparents pretty much were able to help out because they were retired, and my parents went to work, and they didn't have to like worry about that. And I don't know, from like their, like, I guess I can't talk too much about their perspective from, but what they've kind of said and explained is that, like, yeah, you know, they have helped us so much over the year. Mm. Now that they're older, it's our time to help them. And like last year, my grandpa got really sick, and like he had a bunch of health issues. He was in and out of the hospital, but he was on like Medicaid and Medicare, so it was less of a financial burden. So yeah. I really can't talk too much about that, but you know, it was difficult to have him be sick, and like they were really, like, my parents were really taking care of him like they would a child. But I feel like they were just giving back.
I think it's especially because you mentioned, you know, you're Indian, that if mm-hmm. if there's a cultural expectation of it, it's probably not as yeah. bad, because a lot of the pressure, I think, that we're talking about comes from it being a sudden thing where, right. you know, mom fell down again today. What are we going to do about it? Where it's that conversation instead of, okay, well, we've talked about this. We knew that this was the situation for years. It's time for you guys. That's why we have the extra room in our house. That's, you know, so you guys move on in. So I think that helps. Did having your grandparents around when you were younger, was that good, or did you ever wish you had more privacy or more space?
I think it's really like twofold, right? Because obviously with some things, I remember we would get so annoyed, like having like my grandparents sometimes, you know, they're obviously, they want the best for you, but they're always like critiquing you on something, and they're like, what?
You don't
have that much privacy. But I think like now that my grandpa's passed away, I really do enjoy the moments that I had with him in the house, even if sometimes it was annoying. Like, yeah. I know my little sister would like be watching TV, and she's like, he's here watching with me. And I'm like, it's okay. But, you know, those moments, you just like remember that, and like the stories you get to hear from them, and like the wisdom that they pass down, I think is really way more important than like the little annoyances that we had.
All right. Yeah. Benvera, thanks so much for calling and sharing your story with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I grew up very, very close to my dad's grandparents, or my dad's parents. They lived in town. I saw them at least once or twice a week. That made a huge difference for me. And my mom's parents didn't live in our town, but I was still really close to them. Mm-hmm. If I had kids, I would want my kids to be close to my parents. That's, you know, it's lucky if you can do that.
My aunt had an interesting situation where she and my grandmother lived together, but my aunt moved in with my grandmother. It wasn't the other way around where she moved in with her. And she had been divorced and she was tired of living by herself. My grandpa died. And so she was like, okay, well, I'm going to move in with mom. Mm-hmm. And she did. Yeah. And they had a great relationship. And then especially towards the end, it was nice always having someone there for my grandma to, you know, if she needed to go to the doctor and things like that, it made it more convenient, especially because she didn't have kids. So she had more time to do that kind of thing. It can work out, but it's not always the best situation for people. Coming up, we're going to talk about the most superfluous story we can possibly talk about today. Who the hell is Jonathan Bailey?
I saw this morning and said, who?
I don't know who this guy is either, and maybe that's because I've never seen Bridgerton, but he is your People Magazine choice for sexiest man alive. There's also one really interesting thing about him. He's the first ever sexiest man alive to be this, and it's not British. We'll talk about that next at midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your People magazine, Sexiest Man Alive, is this guy from
Wicked.
The middle of this.
Some guy
from
singing
Wicked.
On Wicked. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Cool. His name is Jonathan Bailey. It's a good first name.
Yep.
I'll give him that.
Is it spelled the same?
It is spelled the same. Okay. That makes sense. That's one thing we have in common. I've got to go through... Okay, so this isn't like, because I was like, okay, well, maybe it's been the last few years. It's just been random guys that are like really big on like Wicked TikTok that are it. And I'm looking up, no.
It's usually a big name we know.
From 2020 on, it's Michael B. Jordan. He's a fantastic actor. He's been in Creed and a bunch of Marvel movies, or one Marvel movie. Paul Rudd, obviously we all know who that guy is. Chris Evans, again, Captain America. In 2023, it was Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy, right? That's what he's from. Mm-hmm. John Krasinski from The Office was last year. And yeah. Then this year, it's this guy.
Usually the name is common because they go on the cover. I mean, it is to help sell People magazine.
Yeah.
And they put them on the cover so that people will buy it.
Maybe the idea is if we put that there, people will be like, who the hell is that? I got to buy this to find out who this guy is because I had no idea who he is.
Well, so you mentioned there's something distinct about him.
Yeah.
And is this perhaps the reason that they picked him?
Maybe. He's the first gay man to be People magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. Part of it. But I was also thinking, like, I hate saying this, but what the hell? How many gay men are there in Hollywood that qualify as the sexiest man alive? Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause, well, let's talk about what the sexiest means. I think it usually means like rugged, like usually kind of hulky, athletic.
You know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it. Yeah.
Let me give you some names. Okay. Cause I just Googled gay men in Hollywood.
Okay.
Just to give myself, forgive me. I don't. Some of these names I didn't know off the top of my head and had to think about for a second.
We're outing people today.
Yeah. Matt Bomer.
No idea who that is.
Who is a face. If you Google the name or Google. Yeah. Google the name. Cause I know the face and I don't know why I know him. Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, Matt. Jeez. That guy looks like Henry Cavill. He's way better looking than this guy. Never mind.
Yeah. And that's a name, you know, I couldn't tell you what he's been in, but I immediately knew the face.
Yeah.
Again, Neil Patrick Harris, I think would be a great choice at any point.
Sure.
Ricky Martin.
Okay.
Zachary Quinto. I'm learning some stuff here.
Ricky Martin.
Again, I know the face. Why did I know him?
The only problem is I think your career has to be kind of on the upswing to be. But then again, Patrick Dempsey, I don't know what he's been up to.
Yeah. Cal Penn, who was
Oh, he's gay. Okay. I thought he was Sexiest Man Alive. Okay. I didn't know he was gay.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But he's been in all kinds of stuff and also worked in the White House for a while.
Yeah.
Jim Parsons.
Okay.
That could be a turn.
Sheldon.
That could be an interesting way to go. But there are plenty of people on this list that...
Matt Bomer definitely should...
I think that's not a bad choice. Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if that's what it was or the fact that he's in Wicked. And the problem is that it just shows, again, how separated we're becoming as a society. Because back in the 80s and 90s, the list was Mel Gibson, Tom Cruise, Denzel Washington, Brad Pitt, George Clooney. And you might not have liked them. You might not have liked who they were, but you knew who they were. And now it's like, hey, congratulations to this guy who is on a prestige streaming show and in a spinoff movie and a limited series about trauma, in a musical adaptation of The Wizard of Oz, and that thing that you might have watched, but instead you watch The Office again. It just shows how splintered we're becoming, because you should know who the person is. I've never heard of him.
And again, maybe it makes me feel like that's why they picked somebody, the first gay sexiest man alive. Mm-hmm. That's how they're selling the magazine.
Yeah.
Because it's to make you pick up the magazine. And it's always a big star. It's a big star. It's like 10 years since they've done a thing.
To get us to talk about it, too. It's like, John Krasinski. Oh, no. The hot guy from The Office is the nobody's talking about that. And to be fair to Jonathan Bailey, you know, it's not his fault. It's not his fault that we're talking about it like this. He's clearly talented. I'm just looking at his biography. He's done Shakespeare. He sings. He does serious drama. He's an activist. He's probably very nice to dogs and spells his name correctly so baristas can call it out without screwing it up. This is not an attack on him. It's about the jarring feeling you get when a magazine goes, "Here's the sexiest man alive," and you go, "I don't know who that is, and I feel old now. I don't like it."
Well, so they usually do an interview, like they'll be on Late Night tonight. Yeah. I mean, every Late Night show tonight, like Fallon will interview on.
Sure.
What are you going to interview? Like when it was Blake Shelton, Fallon and Blake Shelton are buddies and they have really good rapport. I feel like you're not going to know what kind of personality he has.
Can we be honest, too, scrolling through those? Jonathan Bailey looks the part. I'll give him that. I was just getting down to 2017. I was like, Blake Shelton?
I think he's had it twice.
Has he really?
Yeah.
I'm almost certain
he's had it twice.
David Beckham, he's charming, and he's not unattractive by any means, but like, he had Chris Hemsworth out there and you went with Blake Shelton?
No, I was wrong. George Clooney has had it twice.
Uh-huh.
Richard Gere has had it twice. Johnny Depp has had it twice. Brad Pitt has had it twice. That's it.
Matt?
That's it. Part of it, and then some of this is subjective. Like,
it's
Adam
very
Levine,
subjective.
Not my thing.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, not my thing. But Bradley Cooper?
I mean,
you know?
You know what? Just give it to Pierce Brosnan every year. If we have to.
Okay.
If we have to.
Or Hugh Jackman every year.
Because I'm sorry. Like, if there's a guy who plays James Bond and you're like, that guy might be too good looking to play James Bond. And that's who Pierce Brosnan. When he was James Bond in the 90s, everyone was like, I don't know if anybody's going to. That guy's a spy. He's not blending in. He's so good looking that even at like 70 years old or whatever, you're like, God, I would kill to be Pierce Brosnan. Just give it to him every year. If you can't come up with somebody better than somebody who's just on Bridgerton and in, I've not seen the Wicked movies.
I haven't either.
Who the hell is he in the Wicked movies? I don't even know who he plays. One of the monkeys? Like, what is he in the Wicked movies?
Could we not have made it Noah Wyle this year? Since The Pitt was one of the biggest TV shows, and him coming back 25 years later.
Jamie, this
could it
guy,
not have been him?
Here's the real dish on this. This guy's not even over 6 feet tall. He's 5 foot 11, which means he's actually 5 foot nine. That's how that works.
I'm looking at the list of who on this list might be under 6 feet.
Paul Rudd, maybe?
I was just wondering that. Is Paul Rudd shorter than 6 feet?
I would think so.
Blake Shelton's way over that. Adam Levine might be shorter. Johnny Depp might be shorter than
Paul Rudd's 5'10", but look at him. Okay. It's Paul Rudd. I mean, come on.
Who has been 30 years old forever.
Yeah.
So.
Jerk-ass Paul
Rudd. They have done a sexiest woman alive one time.
Good.
Can you even try to guess? It was in 2014.
2014?
Can you guess who it was? Here's your hint. Hold on a minute. I want to make sure I say this correctly. Never mind. I can't give you the hint because I'm wrong.
Okay.
But blonde.
Oh.
The hint is blonde.
2014. Hillary Clinton.
No. Kate Upton.
Okay.
They did it once.
All right. I mean, like, that's not great that they ever did it, but I guess if you're going to do it, it should be for somebody that is just known for being sexy. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, she's not known for her acting chops or anything like that. It's like, well, if you're going to, it's not like we're reducing her or anything. Mm-hmm. That's what she's known for. That's what she celebrates. So, all right. I don't know what text line. Stop it. You do not know who Jonathan Bailey is without Googling him.
No,
like,
oh, nobody
does. I'm so embarrassed you guys don't know who Jonathan Bailey is. Really?
No.
913-586-7798.
So Maine Health, big nonprofit system that has a bunch of facilities across Maine and New Hampshire, they're sorry. They sent out letters to over 500 patients saying, we're sorry your loved one died, and here's how you can resolve their estates. They weren't dead.
Yeah.
They were never listed as dead in their medical records. And they say it was just kind of a technical error.
Again, these are the people that you can trust with your day to day. It's funny that people think when it comes to anything like this, it's like, well, you just work it out. The system will just work itself out. It'll figure itself mm-hmm. out. Like, yeah, you might have crazy premiums, but you know, at least you're getting health insurance until you find out that you're dead from the company that's supposed to be handling it. Or I've been battling this for like the last month or so. My children have health insurance. Both of them had a doctor's appointment one day. We got a bill for one of them and didn't for the other one because it was preventative care. We should have never gotten a bill for either of them. And they refused to accept that one of my children has health insurance. And I've been arguing with this for like the last 3 months, and they just keep sending me a bill every month after they say it's figured out. But at least they're not sending me something saying I'm dead.
No. Yeah, and then I don't know how the letters go out. Mm. Like, it's one thing to accidentally write the letter.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were able to be mailed and go out to people.
Well, it is Maine Health. So, you know, that's what government healthcare gets you, I guess. Jamie. Yeah. All right. That's the show for today. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Love you. Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.